Good morning. It's great to see all of you out today. A big crowd today. Do we have any visitors or special guests with us today? If you are, would you please stand? We'll recognize you today. Any visitors? Thank you so much for visiting with us today. You know, I want to say something. Our pastor, you know, of course, he hasn't been preaching here lately, but he's been, you know, kind of trying to get his strength back, and he wants to preach next Sunday, okay? So he's doing everything the doctor told him to do. So let's pray this week for him to have the strength. And, you know, I think he needs to, for us to show him how much we love him. So if you want to show his love, and let's give him a... I know he knows we love him, but, you know, sometimes we just need to show it. We love you, Pastor. We're praying for that you'll be in the pulpit next Sunday. You know, like I say, it's like, I told him it's like a teacher. You want to teach and you're sick and you can't be here, but you want to be here and teach just like a pastor. He wants to be in this pulpit, but he's doing what the doctor said. So pray for him this week that he'll be in the pulpit Sunday. In Sunday school class, you know, this is talking about giving. It's something a lot of people don't want to hear, but God loves a cheerful giver. And giving is a heart issue. Paul wanted the believers in Corinth to give an offering with their genuine hearts. And they can be an example to other people so that they see they had true faith in God. And when you give sincerely and generously, people see that you're sincere about that. And it helps them in their walk with the Lord and in their giving and all. But it is a heart issue. Okay, if you're not in Sunday school, get in Sunday school. It's a great, great time to get to know others and also to learn what God wants us to do in our walk of life. Okay, a few announcements. Seasoned Saints are collecting the non-perishable food for Christmas baskets. There's a basket back there at the usher's table. Monetary gift, give to Sue Estridge or Darlene Fletcher. And it gives the dates in here. The church office is going to be closed. It's going to be Monday, the 24th, December 24th, and the 25th. Of course, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and then New Year's Day, Eve, and Day, they're going to be closed. Discipleship training and Bible study on Wednesday, December the 26th, the PM only. So that's in your bulletin, and take note of that. The combined Sunday school class will be fifth Sunday. We have fifth Sunday. Remember that they have a special program planned for everyone. And pray for the ones that are on the program today. I noticed there's some people on there, that some young kids, and I was just telling Michelle, she's so talented. You know, that works. I said she's going to be a great leader someday. But, you know, it's so great to see young people. They're so talented in their work for the Lord. It's just awesome. And we just need to encourage them and pray for them. There's so much out there in the world today. And it's just great to see her with her talent. And she's going to come and make an announcement right now. Thank you.
On behalf of the preschool department, we would like to thank everyone who came out, prayed, donated gifts, or did anything to make Happy Birthday Jesus a success. 54 boxes were wrapped and donated to Wayside Christian Mission. Thank you.
This morning. Are you grateful?
Amen.
I'm so grateful. How many folks in here have a smartphone?
Smarter than me.
My phone's not very smart, and my children remind me of that always. But I'm told that if you have a smartphone or a computer, there's a mechanism that you can put favorites into. Like you can put something that's your favorite thing, favorite place to contact, favorite place to go into this mechanism. And so this week in my devotion, favorites just keeps coming to my mind. In this season of my life, and maybe some of yours, God has given me an overwhelming amount of opportunities to speak to people that are suffering. They're suffering from financial obligations, physical ailments, mental health ailments, spiritual ailments. And the conversation is always the same, that we are God's favorite. We are God's favorite. And in all that suffering and navigating life, we don't have to do that alone. He always promises to do life with us. All we have to do is call out to him. And he says, you're my favorite, and I love you, and I'm willing to do this with you. So this morning in our gratitude, can I encourage you to worship a God who says, I love you, and you're my favorite, and I want to be with you. Let's worship God this morning.
Tanya looked straight at me and asked, how many of you have a smartphone? Emmett said, don't raise your hand, you don't have a smartphone. Well, I'm going to tell you why I don't have a smartphone. I'm not smart enough to handle a smartphone. So I get what I get, do what I can, the best I can. I just give my best. Thank God for phones, but I just can't get around to that smartphone yet. I'm not smart enough. But I know one thing, I know somebody who knows all. And I put my faith and our confidence in him. I'm glad to worship the Lord today. Let's give God praise. He's worthy of all the praise and all the honor and all the blessings that we can receive.
Come let us adore him. worship you. We cannot live without you. We cannot live without you. We cannot live without you, Christ the Lord. Come, let us adore him.
Good morning, church family. We are doing reciting the responsive reading number 679 in your hymnals. I will read the bold print and you read the light, and then we'll all read the last line of bold print. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened.
And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all
people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is called Christ the Lord. Everyone together, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Amen.
Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for letting us all be able to come here, Lord. I pray for those who didn't make it. I pray that they can make it next week and just touch their hearts, Lord, if they're sick. Help them feel better. And I just hope that we can all have a wonderful week. I thank you for those who did make it today, and I hope we learned something new about you, Lord, today. And I just hope that we can all have a wonderful time praising you and doing your will, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you. was heralded by the angels, born in a lonely manger. The Virgin Mary was his mother, and Joseph was his earthly father. Three wise men came from afar. They were guided by a shining star to see King Jesus where he lay in a manger filled with hay. Oh.
It's offering time, tithes and offering. How many of you received an LG&E bill this month? Let me see your hands if you got an LG&E month. How many of you got a water bill? How about a sewer bill? Sewage, waste. Church got every one of them. We operate on tithes and offerings. God gave us a plan. Now it's up to us to work the plan. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. We thank you now that we can come at this time to give back that portion which belongs to you. Our Father, we pray that you will take each and every dollar, every penny, and use it to the glorification of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you for the fact that we can come into a place of worship that is warm, that is well lit, and our Father, it has all those bills paid up only because of the generosity of your people and those who believe in what you promised. Is that if you give, just watch and see what I give back to you, that it will be multiplied in many, many ways. And our Father, we pray now for this offering, for each and every giver. Our Father, we pray that it will be done as a blessing to you, not necessarily as a command, but one that helps us receive a blessing for the fact that what we gave, what you ask us to do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. worship you forevermore.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we just thank you. We just praise you, Father. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for allowing us to come out this day, Lord. And Lord, we just pray and ask, Lord God, that you touch our hearts and minds, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Father God, for your spirit, Lord. For your spirit, Father God, which fills your house, Lord. We pray, Lord God, that each heart and mind be filled this day, Lord, that we be filled with the presence of yours, Lord. Lord, we pray that you touch me, Lord. Hide me behind Calvary's cross, Lord. Cleanse me, Father, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, Lord. Take any and everything away that is offensive unto you, Lord. Use me this day, Lord. Speak your word, Father God. Let hearts be opened that they may receive, Father God. And Lord, in upon receiving, said, what must I do to be saved? Giving our lives unto you, Lord, that we may do your will. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, first of all, I want to thank God for allowing me to come out this day. I want to thank my pastor for the opportunity. I always want to give thanks unto the man of God of this house, you know, for it has truly blessed me. And not only has it blessed me, it's blessed my family. Because, you know, the Bible says, if a man be saved, his whole household should be saved. So, you know, that is important, that the head of the house be delivered and saved. So I thank God for that. You know, if you don't believe me, I see my oldest son out this morning. Amen. Amen. So, I truly thank God, and it really is a blessing for the thank God for, as I said, my pastor, Reverend Bingham, and the men of God on the pulpit, and all that come together to bring forth the service. And, you know, when you say that, you have to think about the songs that have been put in place and everything been put in place to make the service a success. You know, there's work that has to be done, and the work must be done by the Christians of God. You think about that. We on the battlefield, huh? To serve the Lord. And then not only that, I was worth saving. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we could have stopped right there and just waved our hands. Huh? We could have waved our hands and just came on to the pulpit right there. Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you. When they said we're singing, I'm on the battlefield. Right there. I could have came right on. Right then. So, I thank God. I hope not to be with you long. Emmett told me, you know, he gave me some strict instructions. You know, keep with the pattern and fury, and let's get it going. So, I thank God, because Mama used to always say the same thing. But, you know, I'm not going to talk much about Mama today, because, you know, there were some things that Daddy said back then. You know, Daddy's never said a whole lot. But when they did say something, it was the point that you better take heed to, because it's very important. You know, if you have your Bibles, I'm only going to read two verses. And I'm over in 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter. 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter. And it reads as follows. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. If you seek him, he'll be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, his story here, as I read in the 15th chapter, it's picked up from the 14th chapter. Now, when it's picked up in the 14th chapter, King Asa was just becoming the king of the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. Now, the tribes had been separated, and Asa's father had just died, as is picked up in the 14th chapter. And Abijah was his father, and it said he slept with his father. But as it picks up in the 14th chapter, it said Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Amen. Now, you know, other words, basically, we could say, you know, like that for within our own self. When you come to Christ, you're doing what is right and good in the eyes of the Lord. But now, so in other words, Asa made a decision to do what was right and what was good. And it said not only, as you read down in the text, it talks about how he did what was right and good. And he did what was right and good by taking away the strange God, the high places, and he broke down the images. In other words, those things that would keep us separated from our God is what Asa did. You know, the things in which we do. I won't talk about you, I'll talk about me. You know what? I can remember being in Sunday school a couple years ago, and they didn't quite say it to me, but I felt it was directed to me, and it was, you know, I was kind of like, I'm a real tough guy on my job. And what I mean by that is if I'm not, they'll run over me. But in the same sense of being a real hard and firm guy, you have to remember you're a Christian. And you have a job to do for the Lord in spite of doing your job. And so they were kind of saying to me that I might have needed to be a little bit more flexible, so to speak. And they did not say it directly, because, you know, they're very diplomatic and polite in our Sunday school class. So and I called heave to it, and I took it back. Because, see, now the title here is There's More Work to Be Done. Because, see, you can come into Christ, and you can join church, and you can come down, get baptized, and get saved and delivered. And you can go back to your seat in the congregation, and you can sit down. Well, Asia here has just dedicated, when it talks about he came over, he did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. He made a decision to give his life over to God, dedicate his life into Judah and the tribe of Benjamin over to God. So it's just like you and I coming to Christ, and we made a decision. In other words, so what I was saying, you can make a decision. And you can say, well, I've done a good job, and I've done a good deed. And you can go back to your seat, and that's just where you at. You've done a good job, and you've done a good deed. But there's some things to do after doing a good job and a good deed. And that's what King Asia was doing here in setting up the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. He was getting them together. And it said he began to do these type of things. And as he did these type of things was he broke down the images. He cut down the groves. He took away the altars of the strange god, the high places. He took these things down. So when you come to Christ, there's some work you have to do in your life. Because that's why it's talking about sanctifying. There's some work in which has to be done in our lives. We have to be sanctified before the Lord. You know, you don't just come in and all the way. It's already there, but God has to work it out. And that's why he said he's working it out for your good. And so he's working this thing out. And now, as they made a decision, they came up against something. How many in our lives are coming to Christ? We begin to come up against some things in our lives. They came up against the Ethiopian army. And it talks about how Judah had 300,000 and Benjamin had 200,000 fighting men. But the Ethiopian army had 1,000 times 1,000. They had 1,000,000. They were outnumbered 2 to 1. How many times in our lives have you seemed to be outnumbered 2 to 1 in the things of which you're going through in life? But you put the equation of God in there. And when you put the equation of God in there, that thing equals out. The numbers are so, when you begin to look at it, it's not, the odds are not in the enemy's favor no longer. Well, they were out here in battle. And as they were out here in battle, it says that King Asia called upon the name of the Lord. And as he called upon him, he said, this is nothing for you, God. This is nothing for you to help, whether it's so many or so few. That's paraphrasing my, but he was saying that this is nothing for God to help in this matter. How many times in our lives, as we going through things, we have to call upon the name of the Lord to help us in a situation? And when we look over it, that God always came through and delivered. And so this is here is what King Asia did. But notice the first thing he did. What was good and right. In other words, he established a relationship that he could call upon the name of the Lord. Because, see, everything you do in life, there's going to be some type of relationship, whether it's good or bad. Well, King Asia, he developed a relationship with God. And, you know, when you talk about relationships, a lot of times, I can talk about relationships because I've been married quite a few years, and it ain't always been high selling. She's out there today. But I tell you, but you know, thanks be unto God. Because see, relationships is work. There's work. There's work in relationship. Because see, there's some things in which you do that might not be so feasible unto her. and vice versa. Any type of relationship is some work. And we got to work in our relationship with the Lord. Amen? There's some work in developing our relationship with the Lord. You can't just come in and sat down with, you have some work in which to be done. See, so that was some work. And see, so they done just went out and the Lord just delivered them. And as the Lord delivered them, we pick it up right here in chapter 15. And it's, and the Spirit of God came to Azariah, the son of Obed. And he went out to meet Asa. Man, how many of us, after celebrating such a victory, well, we're not celebrating, we're going to celebrate, because I've just overcome this obstacle, this thing in my life. This means for some celebration. I'm not thinking about doing some work. I'm thinking about celebrating. Well, but Azariah came out, and he told him right here, "Hear me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you. And surely, you know, we as people of God, we can testify that we know the Lord's with us, because we just seen what he brought us through. Calls for some celebration, we would think. Who would think there's more work yet to be done? But that's what the man of God was telling them at this time. There's more work yet to be done. I know the Lord just brought you through that battle. And I know you just overcame that which you overcame. But yet there's some more work yet to be done. And so he tells them, this is what he said unto you. The Lord is with you. Why he yet be with him? Why you yet be with him? Seek him. So he had, the first thing he had to recognize was this here. He had to recognize that God was with him. Now, you know, I said I'm going to tell you a little bit of thing about my father today. You know, my father, as I said, never spoke a whole lot. But when he did say something, it made a difference. And I can remember back, I couldn't go play college ball because my son's here. He's a grown man. If you notice, I was a ball player, high school football player, and real good at it. And I can remember having some scholarship offers, and the coach said to me, "Son, you don't need to play ball, you need a job." And he was right, I need to take care of my kids. And that's what I did. I went home, and I'm this hotshot carpenter. And I'm working at this construction company back there in 79. And I can remember still being at home with Dad, and Dad's off that day. And I jump up, and I run out, brush my teeth, and jump out in the car. I had a 64 Impala. And we working out there, way out there on Dover, off of Chevyville Road. And we building some apartments out there. And so I did that, and I come home the next day. I come home that night, wore out. And I'm prepared to do the same thing the very next morning. Well, my father caught me going out that morning. He said, "Son," I said, "Yes, sir. You got some stuff you got to do in order to run out that door. You got to be prepared to work. You got to recognize what it is that's allowing you to go out that door to be able to work." See, you know, he was saying to me, "You need to get down and pray before you jump up, run out there. You should have prepared the car." That's an old car. Even though it was, you know, back then, 64, everybody driving around in Cadillac, this and that. He got me riding this 64 Impala. But thank God, I wish I still had that car today. I do. But, and he was telling me to recognize the power, the source in which is supplying my needs. See, one thing we as Christians have to do, we have to recognize what it is that's supplying the source of power in our lives to be able to do the things in which we're doing. And see, that's what the man of God was telling King Asa. For him, the first thing you have to do is you have to recognize who it is that gave you the victory. See, I have to recognize who it is that delivered me, who it is that thought I was worth saving, huh? Who it is, you know, we got to recognize who it is that gave his life for us, who allowed us to get on the battlefield. Because, see, you can't just go and get on the battlefield to be a soldier. See, you got to acknowledge him and recognize him and accept him in order to get on the battlefield. And see, and when you do these type of things, he begin to do some things in your life that allow you to work for him. It's God that work it in you both. When it's working in you both, as to will and to do. Not your will, but you begin to do the will of the Lord. And then not only he takes it and moves you, gives forth the power. You find that over in Philippians, the second chapter, 13th verse. God would work it in you both to will and to do. Amen. See, so you have to recognize. And so when you begin to recognize who it is that's working in you, you know, Paul said this here when he was talking about to be able to recognize. Paul said over in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 9, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, what he was saying is he recognized that he was weak before God. And it was God which showed up in his weakness to allow him to do the things in his life. He was telling, in other words, what he was telling Asa is that you have some work that yet to be done. I know you just got the victory, but you still got to seek the Lord why he is yet with you. Why I need to seek him, and I know he's with me. I know he's already here. I've seen the work in which he's done. I'm looking at the manifestations in my life. I know God's with me. I don't need to do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. No. He said he'll always be with me and never leave me and never forsake. That's what he said, and that's true. That's true. But you and I, come times in our life. Because, see, why would he have to look for a God that was already with him? Because there's going to be times in our life, some low times in our life, where we're going to have to do some things that allow us to know, no matter what we think within ourselves, we have to believe in what the word of the Lord says. See, so you got to always be able not only to recognize, you got to always be able to reflect back on who it is that's working in your life for your good. Amen? See, so he was telling him, you know, why he's yet with you, for you to seek him. Because you're not going to always. Now, it's a reason why the prophet was saying this. Now, I'm not really telling you all of the text because, see, it said King Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord for 41 years. But I'll tell you in the very end what he was meaning when the man of God said what he said unto him. But, you know, the second point, as I said, is to reflect. To reflect. How you overcome the accusing of the brother? How do you overcome him? Revelation 12:11 tells us we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony and to love not their lives unto death. See, so you got to always be able to reflect back and talk about the goodness of the Lord. You always have a testimony each and every day of your life. You have a testimony about what the Lord has done in your life. Not what he has done or, you know, just years ago, but what he's done each day. Because if you woke up that day, you can testify about the goodness of the Lord and what he done for you that just that morning. You know, I can remember waking up Friday morning and I'm on my way out to work. And you know, and I really had this sermon on my mind, and I'm really meditating on it, and I get ready to go out to work and my truck's flat. And I'm like, first thing I thought about was my old buddy Emmett. I said, I thought those brand new tires on that truck. and you know, and so I get the wife up, and I know she was like, there's more work yet to be done. There's still work to be done. So she rushed me on down there, get me down there, and I'm able to get on in there right there and get the bus on out before 5 o'clock. And so, you know, and then as I come home, I'm thinking, who could I get to go fix that flat before I get off, before the rain hit? Well, you know, because I wanted to be able not just to write, I wanted to type up my sermon where, you know, I was telling my older daughter, I said, I peck at the thing so long, baby, it takes me a long time. I said, Daddy, I'm not going to type it for you. So I was like, well, I want to get this done, and I can't get nobody to fix the flat. I said, Daddy, I'll pick you up, and I'll take you to get your tire fixed. But I ain't doing nothing else for you. So, you know, I'm out there in the rain, and I'm fixing the tie. I got caught by the rain, the story. I got caught. And so as I got caught by the rain, I'm in there writing, and I'm wanting to begin to type. My son calls me. He's telling me he's stuck out on 71. His truck is broke down. And, you know, God has a unique way of telling us, I'm talking to you in the message in which you give it. There's more work yet to be done. And there's more work yet to be done. So all I did was put the jack in the back of the truck, put the T-wrench in there, put a heavier coat on, and put my hat on, and I was headed on out the door. And so he called me as I'm coming around the corner, and he said, I know he felt like I was fussing. I could hear it in his voice when he called me. Oh, Pops, I'm going to make it. No, I'm on my way, man. I'm going to make it. I'm going to roll it on in. So I said, okay. I wasn't really upset. I began to just thank God. In other words, I was reflecting back again on the goodness of the Lord. And as I began to reflect on the goodness of the Lord, I began to think about how the Lord protected my boy. I told you, you always have to have a testimony. He said he was riding on 71, and as he got up to 65, his tire began to wobble and everything. But in other words, he said when he got so far out, the traffic was a log jam, in other words. And as it got so congested, it slowed him down. And he was able to just ride on easy until he was able to get off at his exit. You know, is God good? Is God good? See, we can always reflect back on the goodness of the Lord. See, King Asa could reflect back on what God has done. He had just delivered them from the odds 2-1. See, so we can always reflect back. I had a couple other points in there, like 1 Peter 3:15, to sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. See, you always have to be able to give a reason of the hope of your calling. There's always work to be done in Christ Jesus. You can't just sit back. There's always something. And when you reflect sometimes, the Bible tells us to be not drunk with wine, we're in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. See, sometimes when you reflect, you got to motivate yourself. Because see, you know why he told him why he's yet with you? Because see, sometimes in our lives, we will not feel the presence of God, even though the presence of God is there in our life. See, that's why we have to motivate ourselves sometimes. And in motivating ourselves, it told us over in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 18-20. It tells us to, where it says not to be judged. Let me get it where I don't want to misquote it. Here we are. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melodies in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for the goodness, for the good unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord our Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes I'd be on the job, and I can remember some things happening to me, and I can really wave my hand. I thank God. Because, you know, I can remember a young man doing something to me, and I just wanted to really retaliate, but God was able to do something for me. It was a guy on there that knew me, and before I could even get up, he told me, you better not get up. And he grabbed the boy, and he said, open the door, and he threw him off the bus. The Lord always, always, I have a ram in the bush for you and I. Amen. Now, I told you there was a point in which Asia, the man of God told Asia not to forsake him. Because if you forsake him, he'll forsake you. Well, King Asia did what was right for 41 years. But there came a point in time in his life where he did something what God told him he would get it anyway. But how many of us in our lives, God will promise us something and tell us something, and we'll do something we think to help him out? God don't need no help in us doing what he done already told us he'll do. So what King Asa did, he tricked. Him and the king of Israel were going through it. So he tricked the king of Syria, Ben-Hadad, that he would break the allegiance with the Israel. That's what he did. See, now the trick worked and he got what he wanted. Now what are you saying? I'm saying this here. It says, there's a way that seemeth right unto man. But thereof, the end of the way is of death. See, as you can do something, and you can justify the means in which you do it, and you can believe it to be right. But you forsaking God when you do that. You're not doing what thus said the Lord. You're not keeping that life clean and simple. And that's what King Asa did. And when he was told about that, He didn't do what we're supposed to do. He didn't confess his sin, which we know in 1 John 1:9, he's a faithful and just God to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He didn't do that. He jumped in an outrage. He put the prophet Hannah in prison. He jailed him. So all that right that he done, when it became the time for him to continue to do what was right and good in the eyes of the Lord, he did what was right and good in the eyes, in his own eyes. What are you saying? I'm saying we live in a society today where a lot of times we do what is right and good, not in the eyes of the Lord, but in our own eyes. I talk about me. I'm talking about me. But that's what. He did what was right and good in his own eyes instead of what was right and good in the eyes of the Lord. And when he did that, and it was brought to his attention, he didn't confess it. Unconfessed sin is forsaking the Lord. And that was the three things the man of God gave him. When the man of God came to him, he told him to seek while he's yet with him, and not to forsake him. So he told him to recognize, reflect, and constantly repent each and every day, because we're all guilty of sins. There's none righteous. And that's what he told him. to constantly to repent. But King Asa didn't. So that's your opportunity today. You can continue to work on your Christian journey. I know faith without works is dead. So there's some things in which you and I have to do each and every day to keep our life. And today's your opportunity to say that I have some work yet to be done in my Christian journey and moving forward.
Thank you, Brother Brock. Will the counselors please come forth? And our Sister Bingham is going to lead us in our hymn. Have thine own way, Lord. Amen. 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 Michael, you've met before. He joined about a month or so ago. His wife, Tarnita, she told me, in fact, you didn't get it right, just call her TK. So TK wants to become a member of this church. She wants to come by accepting Christ as a personal Savior and Lord, and she's going to do it by letter from Highland Baptist Church. And this is where Michael came from. But there are a couple of things we'd like for you to do. We'd like for you to just mentor Mike and TK. Ladies, be patient with her, help her, give her love, show her love, because she wants to serve the Lord here. But she needs our support and she needs our help. And Michael wants to talk to Reverend Bingham, but only because he wants to get to know you better. Nothing else. He said he wants to know you as a friend. So with that, all those in favor of TK becoming a member of this church by letter from Highland Park, please let it be known by aye. Okay. Nays? Oh, no nays. So TK, you're a member of this church, okay? We expect you to come to Sunday school, discipleship training, right? Okay, and we're gonna show you love, okay? God bless you, okay? Won't y'all stand here, and they're gonna welcome you in after.
Give me a minute, give me a minute first, and I'll let you go. Have a seat, give me a minute first. You've heard four wonderful messages the last four Sundays, including this Sunday. Next Sunday is the fifth Sunday. I am asking you to pray for me because I want to be able to bring a message on next Sunday. Four? I thought it was five. Okay. Well, anyway, three and one, four. Next Sunday is Christmas. It actually is Christmas Eve. The message that I have in mind for Sunday is Christmas, Santa or Savior? Christmas, Santa or Savior? Shopping or serving? Think about it. I want that to be next Sunday's message. Would you please stand? Stand, we have benediction, and you shake hands with these people that are coming forward. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for all that has happened today here at the church. And this year, as it approaches the close, a close with Christmas celebration. And I'm thanking you, Lord, for every blessing that has been given. And we're looking forward to the days ahead, Lord, that we prepare ourselves. Not just next Sunday, but even now, in the days that are ahead. And be mindful of the grace that brings salvation has appeared to every person who will receive. And as I leave this place, Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, amen. Greet the people who have come.